Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Got kids who are, you know, involved in the social networking things, you know, MySpace. You've got kids who are just involved in so much of the culture. They're flirting with the world.
The parents are outraged. They say, hey, we turn on the TV as well as anybody.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, over the years, we've asked parents visiting the Homeward website, what is the most important area that they want help on from Homeward? And interestingly enough, year after year, the answer is the same. It's not about drugs. It's not about sex education. It's actually about passing on a legacy of faith from parents to children and onward. Well, being the spiritual leader of your kids can feel like a daunting task. I know it has been for Kathy and me. It seems a lot easier to send those kids to Sunday school, leave it to the youth pastor, let the praying grandparent be a part of it. But time and time again, research has proven that the most effective way for a child to really grow in their faith is for mom and dad to become spiritual leaders for that young man or that young woman. Well, today on Homeward, I'll continue my conversation with Jack Egger. He's the president and the CEO of Awana Club International, which reaches out to over a million children each week through churches in 115 countries. Incredible organization. Keys to Shaping Your Family's Faith is once again our topic, so keep it right here because Homeward starts right now.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you want to find out what's happening at APU, if you go to apu.edu/calendar, you can check out the next big athletic event or concert or theater production. There's a lot going on campus. Of course, it's summer right now, so that might be not happening quite as much as it does during the fall. But check in and then check on the calendar from time to time. Find out what's going on, especially if you have a son or a daughter who's thinking about college. And they're nearing that decision-making time. It's worth looking into Azusa Pacific University. It's certainly been a great place for us here at Homeward. And now part two of a very important conversation titled Keys to Shaping Your Family's Faith. Here is Dr. Jim Burns to talk with Jack Egger.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, Jack Egger with us. It's a continuing conversation, Keys for Shaping Your Family's Faith. You know, the head of the Awana Clubs International is going to talk to us about the importance of parents and the critical role they must play in the faith training of their kids. Jack is the president and CEO of Awana Clubs International. Under his leadership, Awana Clubs reach out to a million children a week. That's an incredible, incredible opportunity with a great program. 17,000 churches in 115 countries. Jack and his wife, Donna, have four children. They have four grandchildren. Welcome back to our program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Jim.
What a delight to have you. And what so often Awana and Homeward, we just line up with the same kind of philosophy. We want to help families succeed. We want kids.
Absolutely.
I wake up in the morning thinking about kids. How do I help kids? And I'm going with the fact that I can help kids the most by helping their parents and helping their grandparents.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And it's quite a run. You know, you say that the primary mentors for kids in the church are their parents. Well, what if a parent isn't doing that?
Well, that's often the case. In fact, what we're finding in America today through our research, if there is a continuum of 1 to 10, 1 being deadbeat dad and 10 being super dad, we're finding that the average Christian dad in America is about a 2 to 3. And we're not trying to cast aspersion against the dad. We're just recognizing that dads too often are passive. And God didn't call dads to be passive. His children, who happen to be dads, need to be faithful, and they need to be active, and they need to take hold of their responsibility to lead their children in the ways of the Lord. This is serious business because our kids, their spiritual integrity, their lives, their walk, their relationship with God hangs in the balance. And we don't need to be cavalier about this. We need to be dead serious about getting on with the work God has called us to. And so, when I look at parents, I recognize that a lot of parents don't share those values that are biblical. And I think it's really the church's responsibility not to act as the spiritual surrogate to try to do what only the parents have been equipped to do, but it's really the church to help light up the hearts of the moms and dads.
Right.
And by the way, so many moms' hearts are already there in tune, but so many dads are passively standing in the wings. And I think part of it is
they don't really know what to do.
Right.
They're probably a bit intimidated.
Well, I think that is. I mean, I think that a lot of people say we want to do something. We honestly don't know what to do. And actually, I want to put it also on the church, because I think the church can help us greatly by giving us the practical tools. Organizations like Awana, organizations like Homeward can do that. But the church can do that. And sometimes, frankly, I find a lot of pastors who are struggling in their own marriage or struggling with parenting issues. And so they're not preaching it as much from the pulpit, partly because, you
they're
know,
struggling,
it's, not their, it's not their strength. So there are places where we can get it. And you wrote a novel recently. It's called Shaping Your Family's Faith. Roger's going to talk about it in a minute. The Millstones, is that their name?
That's
the Millstones,
exactly right.
That's the family. They seemed like a pretty typical family, and they kind of have relationship crises, and their kids are busily involved in all kinds of stuff. They're involved in the church, but they're also involved in the culture. And, you know, there are issues with TV, music, internet, MySpace, movies, some pornography, you know, whatever. And parents really have to become students of the culture, don't they, today?
Oh, they need to be aware. They cannot be aloof. In fact, too many parents are so busy with their world, they are quite aloof from what's really happening in their kids' right. world. And they need to be there to lovingly protect those kids and guide
yeah.
them.
What do you do in a situation when kids, like in the novel, you've got kids who are, you know, involved in the social networking things, you know, MySpace, you've got kids who are just involved in so much of the culture. And really, these kids were church kids, kind of normal church kids.
Yeah.
They're flirting with the world. Obviously, the answer isn't to put everybody back in a bubble and never allow them to breathe outside of their home.
Yes.
What's the answer to somebody if their kid is flirting with the world?
Well, keep in mind that most all of our kids, when they're preteens, they're fairly compliant. You know, they have their moments, but by and large, they go to church with us, and they do what we tell them to do, and they make their beds with a little bit of, you know, arm
maybe
twisting.
Your kids made their beds when they were preteen. I'm not sure mine did.
I tell you, that's still a struggle. It's generational type thing.
Okay.
But in the story, their right. oldest daughter,
right.
Julia, when she became a teenager, she began to display not a heart that belonged to Christ, but a heart that very much was in tune with the world. And so right. she gets herself in trouble. And you remember in the story, Jim, the parents are outraged. They're ready to go to fisticuffs with the church. So they call a meeting with the pastor, and they say, hey, you guys really let us down. We expected you to do better than this. And the pastor right. of the church is going, whoa, wait a minute. What's been happening at home? And they're looking at this going, well, what do you mean what's happening at home? We turn on the TV as well as anybody.
Right, exactly.
You know, and so there's this huge disconnect, because there are these assumptions in our society today that certain things are to be taking place when they're really not. In other words, we substitute real spiritual development with activity and excitement and all this stuff, when all it is really a bunch of fluff.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, because I can remember when I was a youth pastor in a church a long time ago, I was telling one of my interns, he's Doug Fields, he's actually now the kind of guru of youth ministry in America, he's at Saddleback Church here in California. And I used to say, you know, these parents are dropping their kids off, and then they're going to brunch or having their lattes or whatever, or they're going at night. And I said, wouldn't it be more effective if the kids dropped the parents off and we were able to train the parents? Wouldn't we have more multiplication leverage? And we'd laugh about it.
Oh, yeah.
But in reality, I am seeing a movement in the church in a good way, that they're moving toward a family-based youth ministry, yeah. family-based children's ministry. I have a book called Partnering with Parents, and it's how does the church partner with parents? There's some good things happening in the church, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely, Jim. In fact, I'm seeing more and more of these family-friendly churches.
Right.
They're beginning to realize, hey, look, we're a church, we're a lighthouse, we exist in this community by the will of God, and we are to shine brightly for His kingdom, but our brilliance is not in that building that sits on the corner of 9th and Vine. It's really in the homes that become points of light. The church is at its greatest with what I call a federated view, and that is their success is not in the building, it's out in society. It's equipping the parents so that they can in turn equip their kids. And by the way, if they do it well enough in the church, we've discovered in our own family, our kids attract other kids. And suddenly, we have this happening in our home with all these kids that have come in from the community. And of course, we load them up and take them to Awana. And,
yeah.
But we are becoming active lights, points of light in our neighborhoods, yes. and then we come together to celebrate in the church.
Right, that should be the goal. Now, you mentioned Awana. You're the president and CEO of Awana Clubs International. It's an incredible organization. I highly endorse it. I love Awana. I've seen it work in so many people's lives, and so many families' lives have been changed by it. For those of us who don't know much about Awana, I want you to tell us a little bit about it. What are you involved in, and how could they find out more about it?
Yeah, Awana is really a servant. It's a parachurch ministry that exists to help a church make a kingdom impact in its community by getting the gospel out and being very deliberate about it. Our whole passion resides around evangelizing and discipling kids, helping the church with the tools that it needs to really become outward focused. I mean, when you think about it, Jim, we've got 350,000 churches in America today. Probably the better portion are flat. They're slowly disconnecting from their communities. They're no longer relevant, and they're comfortable. In fact, somebody said to me one day, well, they're just hunkered down waiting for Jesus to come. That was never Jesus's plan. He wants us to shine brightly for him and show his love and magnificence in a world that is dark and in sin. And yet churches lose sight of that vision and that calling. And Awana is there to stir that up in them again.
Yeah, well, and that is great. And as parents, what we have to do is find people and organizations that can come around us so that we can help enhance the spiritual growth of our kids. We need to take the lead, and we need organizations like Awana to help us do that. We're going to take a break. Roger, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Awana? I know there's a link on our website today to the Awana website. Also about the book by Jack and Donna Egger called Shaping Your Family's Faith, One Family Story of Growing Strong Together. It's a great little novel. It's a great way of approaching the themes that we're talking about today. Roger?
Well, when you go to homeward.com, you'll find the resources Jim just mentioned. It's easy to get the information from Jack, because what we do with every one of our guests who has a website is if you go to homeward.com and you look at the radio program log, the listing of all the different broadcasts, if it's today's program as you're hearing it in real time, or if you're hearing this on the archives, that means you went back into the archives and pulled this thing up. If you go back to that program listing, each of the guests that has a web link, we link their site to their name. It's all, you know, done behind the scenes there. So if it looks like it's blue and it's kind of what we call hotkeyed, you can go and click on their name and it takes you right to their website. So it takes a couple of clicks on your part, but you'll get the information you need, and then you can learn more, in this case, about Awana. You can learn more about Jack's books and all those resources as well. So visit our online resource center, and don't be afraid to browse around there a little while you're there at homeward.com. And now let's get back into it. Here's the conclusion, part two of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Jack Egger.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Keys for Shaping Your Family's Faith. You know, a conversation like this can actually make you feel guilty, because most of us haven't done as good of a job. We haven't leaned this muscle, kind of the energizing your family's spiritual growth muscle, into our family's situation. But I want you to know it's never too early to begin, but it's never too late to begin either. You can do things that can help enhance your family's faith. You know, I'm one of these guys who wasn't raised in the church. I was brought up in a home that was a wonderful home, but not necessarily raised in the church. And at 16, I made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and it transformed my life. If your kids are a little bit older, you know what? You can still have these kinds of experiences with your family. Jack Egger with us, President, CEO of Awana Clubs International. We've been talking about it. It's a great organization. Jack and his wife, Donna, have 4 children and 4 grandchildren. Jack, recent studies are kind of a blemish to organizations like Awana and blemish to organizations like youth ministry, where I come from. It says that 80% of students who graduate from high school often will not be back in the church in September. They graduate in May or June, and they just leave the church. They don't leave their faith all the time, but they just don't come back for a while. However, a recent study has shown that there's a 300% better chance for a student to stay in the church if the family practices their faith at home together. I mean, that's a pretty insightful thing. I want you to actually talk about both. What's going on with this 80% leaving? And then do you agree with that, with this new study, that if families really practice their faith together, the kids are going to stay in the church?
Well, you're right on target. Josh McDowell and some of his people did some research not long ago, and they determined that denominations have communicated 69% to 94% of the kids in church are leaving when they graduate from high school. It's sad. I'm really, really sad to see that. And a lot of these kids don't have a biblical worldview. Now, when I say biblical worldview, I'm not talking about more than just knowing the stories in the Bible. I'm talking about knowing the Word of God good enough that we can walk in the ways of Christ and make good decisions. Only about 10% of our kids, Christian kids in America, have a biblical worldview. So the ignorance of the Word of God is prolific these days. It's very, very sad. 4 years ago, I think it was Baylor University, they did a religious study. They engaged thousands of people from across the states, and they asked them about this thing Did you go to church as a child? Are you still going? Oh, my goodness. So many of them had left the church. What we did is we consulted with Chuck Thomas Creative, a consulting agency in Chicago. They took that same study, the same exact questions as they were presented 4 years earlier, and we went out and engaged several thousand Awana kids, or at least they're adults now. They were kids that had spent 6 years in Awana. And we were shocked to find the results. Over 94% of those who had spent 6 years or more in Awana were still going to church on a regular basis. Their worldview was still very solid biblical. In other words, they were staying true to their faith. Yeah. So we dug deep into that, Jim, and we determined this is what made this special. It wasn't the church in isolation doing what the parents need to be doing, and it wasn't the parents disconnecting their families from the church. It was really the result of a partnership where churches and families were working together, and the families were actually having a family devotional time where the Word of God was being opened.
Now, when you have a family devotional time, I think sometimes parents will say, oh my goodness, you know, I don't know Scripture enough. But basically what you're saying is, it starts small. I mean, you don't, it doesn't have to be some big theological treatise. It's just getting together and having some faith conversations.
Yes.
And moving them along.
Well, you know, some years ago, Cook Publications and Focus on the Family put a book out that was magnificent. The problem is, Dad doesn't read. Dad, I told somebody the other day, Dad doesn't read, he clicks. You know, he's got the remote, he's clicking.
Oh, now you're hurting me. I'm doing a little clicking at night these days.
Well, I tell you, you know, but right. My wife and I, we were missionaries in Fiji for a number of years. There was one station. So one day when I came back to the States, after being gone for years, I found a clicker in my hand. And man, I was clicking through the channels. I couldn't believe in such a thing.
Yeah.
But, well, that it's true about Dad.
Right,
Dad
exactly.
is not going to read it, and he's intimidated to think that he's going to have to be the person to lead the family in an in-depth Bible
yeah.
study. So what we're doing in Awana, we're actually bringing a mini Awana program to the home, and we're saying, okay, Dad and Mom, here's the fun, silly, wacky game time that you're going to do with your
right.
kids, and it's going to be varied, and it's going to be indoors and outdoors, and you choose what crazy thing you want to do. Then we're going to go to a handbook time where the kids are working on their verses and they're learning scriptural truth and doing their little theology lessons. But when it comes to the equivalent to the Awana Council time, that's the family devotional time, we're producing some things where Dad really just has to click it into the DVD and get the thing going. And really, it becomes a drama that unfolds into a moral crisis. And then Dad, this is his role. He says, well, Johnny, what would you do in a situation like that? And little Johnny says, well, I'd just punch that boy in the nose. And so Dad gets Johnny's input. Well, Johnny, what would Jesus do? And so Dad then leads the kids, leads the family into the scriptures where together they're reading the Bible and they're learning what the... Now, here's the value of that. One, Dad is seen as the mentor and leader. And by the way, in the homes where Dad's not available, then Mom has to obviously
ask you that
do
question.
That. But here's the neat thing. The Bible is lifted up as the source of authority, and kids grow up realizing, wow, God has spoken. It's in His Word, and it's so important. We're doing it right here in our living room every week.
Isn't it interesting? Because you talked earlier about a biblical worldview, and what we're finding is that kids who have a biblical worldview don't just get it from church, but they really get it with their parents. Even if their parents, you know, don't have the seminary degree, don't know the Greek and Hebrew, obviously, things like that. But if parents are bringing the Scripture to light, whether it be talking about sexual purity or whether it be talking about what you're going to do with your finances or whatever, these kids are going to stick with it in a much better way.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jim.
Yeah.
The kids that grow up and have a biblical worldview, let me tell you something. It's because moms and dads, more often than not, modeled it and mentored them in the process.
Yeah.
And they connected those kids in to the reality of the Christ life. And it wasn't a disconnected thing like, well, here is our public appearance at church, and by the way, when we get home, let's turn on the TV and life will carry on from there.
Right. You know, we don't have much time left, but I'd love for you to comment on love God, obey God, and train children.
Yeah. You know what? That's my heartbeat right now, because I think we can take that basic biblical formula and put it into a ministry system that we can say, moms and dads, come on in. Sunday night, we're going to give you a couple hours of training to prepare you now to take this concept and some tools into the home. But while you're doing this, remember, God wants you every day to love Him, obey Him, and be consistent with your kids. Every moment is a teaching moment. Every moment is an opportunity to mold, shape, love, and impart biblical truth and wisdom to your kids. And by the way, the parents who are a little bit intimidated by that, if you just start simple, keep doing it, you'll find that you'll become pros before long, and you love doing it, and your kids will love you for it.
That's great. And something is better than nothing, so just kind of get started. And you can get involved with the incredible Awana program, as well as you can come to the Homeward website, and we can help you too. We've got lots of great resources for you, and all kinds of different folks have put together some great things now. It's a new world. You don't have to do this on your own. You can get the kind of help. And you want to do something like what Jack was talking about with the Awana program. Have some fun with your family. Actually, then get to the scripture, and then study together. Become pilgrims together. You don't have to be the big-time teachers. You can do this together. Jack, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Jack Egger, the president and CEO of Awana Clubs, here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about some keys to shaping your family's faith, and as you heard Jim talking with Jack there a moment ago about the fact that you can do this in community. You take advantage of online resources like homeward.com or the Awana website, which is linked on our website today. And you don't have to be a superstar in the spiritual realm to pass a legacy of faith onto our kids. But Jim, as we conclude this edition of the Homeward Broadcast, our theme has been keys to shaping your family's faith, and this is something that parents don't have to do alone, but we do need to be intentional about getting the tools that we need to pass on a legacy of faith to our kids.
Well, it's what we all want. You know, yeah. There are things that I, even in our conversation today, wish I would have done when my kids were younger.
Sure.
So some of our younger listeners or people with younger kids, you know, this is a great program for them. Yeah. But I think even for those of us who have a little bit older kids, we still have to understand it's partly our job to help pass on this faith. And it's not easy. As I said in a previous program, it's a tad bit messy. In closing, as we talk about passing our faith along, I want to say that I think there are three practical principles. One is we have to be prepared as parents. Second is we have to practice what we hope to accomplish with our kids. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, we have to be patient with our kids because it just doesn't seem like they're going to be getting it at first.
Right.
Sometimes, even as they go into those teen years, it seems like they're not going to be getting it. What parents need to do is be prepared. You know, Kathy and I realized this pretty much in the teen years, that for us, if we wanted to have quote unquote spontaneous conversations about spiritual faith, then we had to kind of be prepared. And so we would actually take the time to say, let's talk to our kids about this area. Mm-hmm. And for us, maybe it would be stewardship. And what do we want to say to them? And then we'd look for ways to do it. Sometimes we just had to make it happen. We'd
right.
have a family meeting.
Right.
We'd say, here's the missionaries that we sponsor. Here's the other people that we sponsor. Here's how much money we give to the church. And here's why we do it. And let's take some time to pray about it. Are there any other needs? Because we have a little bit of money that we'd like to give away. And it's a part of our tithe and part of our giving. And we just kind of then teach them. And, you know, they sometimes, funny, our kids would even get in arguments about that.
Mm.
Like, well, no, we should do it here. We should do it there. We're going,
yeah,
look, we don't have that much money. Okay,
uh-huh.
guys. But the point is that I think we have to be prepared. And a lot of times we try to do this spontaneous and it doesn't work. So be prepared so that spontaneous education does take place. The other one is practice. We have to practice what we preach.
Right.
And so I'll keep on the line of stewardship. You know, they need to see that mom and dad do practice stewardship. And that's not just in terms of giving, but it's also in terms of how we handle the money that God has entrusted us. You know, are we in a lot of debt? Are we all messed up there? You know, it's things like that. So we have to practice that. And then thirdly is we have to be patient with our kids because it really is something that they're going to go forward and they're going to step back. And patience and prayer probably go hand in hand. We've seen this with one of our daughters who pretty much said, I'm not sure I even want to live with your guys' faith anymore. Well, she had to learn her own faith. And now we're really seeing the results. But, you know, there was a couple of years there where we're going, oh, my goodness, you know, what is going on here? Well, I think patience and prayer and believing that when you train up a child in the way that they should go, they will return. That's an important part. But it's going to take all of them. Be prepared, practice, and then also be patient with your kids.
Amen to that. And as we conclude today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, I want to thank you as a Homeward listener and supporter. We know that you're praying for us. We are praying for you as well. If you have a prayer concern, drop us a line. Go to homeward.com. You can send it my way, roger@homeward.com, if you'd like. Also, the resources we have available to you for passing on a legacy of faith to your kids, two in particular, are the 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family by Dr. Jim Burns. Has a chapter in that book devoted to building a family legacy of faith. And then also Faith Conversations for Families, Jim's outstanding book that helps moms and dads, especially us dads, who really feel compelled to have family devotion time. But let's face it, the world doesn't work like that anymore. We don't get the kids together at the dinner table and say, all right, boys and girls, it's time for a Bible lesson. Faith Conversations for Families is real life stuff. It's how you can have these dialogues with your kids about these key issues. And if you'd like ordering information for that book, go to homeword.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.